You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. If you would like the written form of that content, make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rag website. Also, you can check out past podcasts, prior podcasts on that site. I encourage you to do so. As I've been saying the last few shows, we've had some really great guests the last couple of months. I would encourage you to check out those shows, re-listen to them. I think a bunch of them, especially stuff like the show we did with Jeremy Wu on the draft prospects, the show we did with Matthew from Conquest Chronicles on kind of viewing the prospects while the tournament was going on, stuff like that, some of the playoff picture episodes that we've done, all that kind of stuff is still applicable today. It's not like every episode is game recap, stuff like that. So I think a bunch of the episodes would still make great listens. Definitely go check that out. Moving on, we have a very busy show today. Lots of activity over the weekend. We didn't really get to talk about Jimmy Butler and the Denver loss last week. We had the pre-recorded show with Harrison talking about the takeaways from, I think, that we'll have 5 years in the future from the Timberwolves and from the Lakers if we're looking at this season as a whole. And not really, it's kind of hard to see maybe the overall takeaways while you're in the season, but if we're thinking of the season 5 years down the line, this is kind of what we remember. But we didn't get to get to some of the current news, so we have a bunch of current news, the loss and the win to go over. Also have the Memphis Grizzlies game that's happening Monday night tonight to talk about. So plenty to go over in this podcast. Where to get to first is really the question. Let's get to the loss against the Nuggets. This one was a heart wrencher, 196. The Timberwolves lost to the Denver Nuggets, which makes these next couple games increasingly important. Before we really break down the loss and kind of the nuts and bolts of it, it makes in tonight an incredibly important game. The Timberwolves can clinch a playoff spot tonight if they beat Memphis and if San Antonio defeats Sacramento and Denver loses to Portland. So if those three things happen, then they can secure a playoff spot. Obviously, it's a lot easier if they win against Denver. And then I hope you all know, unless you are not paying attention to the sports world at all and totally were locked into the Masters, the Timberwolves beat the Lakers on the road. So that does help, but it would have been a lot easier of a week, at least for the Timberwolves faithful, if they had won against the Denver Nuggets as well. But that's the playoff situation they find themselves in now, is that if those three things happen, they can clinch a playoff spot. If they beat Memphis and Denver beats Portland, then the amount of pressure on the game against Denver to finish out the season on Wednesday is just through the roof. But we'll get to that later this week. First of all, let's break down this Denver game. So you had, they were kind of, when we were recording the show leading up to the Denver game that morning, question marks were Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague. They were listed as questionable the morning of when we were doing the show. Later on, it became apparent they were going to play in that game. Derrick Rose ended up playing over 14 minutes. Jeff Teague had over 35 minutes, a crazy amount of minutes coming back from that knee injury. And Jimmy Butler was dressed. He did not participate, but he was available for that game. It ended up being a coach's decision to hold him out, but he was available. He was dressed. Really tough loss for the Timberwolves. 12 lead changes. This was a really good game. If you're not a stressed out Timberwolves fan, it was actually a really good game to watch just because of the back and forth here. A really solid performance from both Towns, who had 26 points, 13 rebounds. And you had a good game from Gibson, who had 17 points, 14 rebounds. Teague with 15 and 6 assists. A pretty solid night for him. Really a bummer of a night for Andrew Wiggins was kind of the thing that I was hoping for throughout the course of that game, that he would find a spark. He only ended up with 9 points, 6 rebounds. And he took 12 shots, not sucking up a huge amount of shots. Really even shot distribution, actually, from the Timberwolves, who shot 42% on the night. And that was kind of the first thing that struck me as I'm walking away from this game, was if Wiggins can get going at some point in this game, I think it makes a world of difference. Obviously, it only takes a little bit in a four-point game to kind of sway the end result. But I really think that that was the one that stuck with me. And I was talking about this with Adam, the host of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, who was on the show that morning, was if Wiggins can really find a spark here and really get up for this game, I think they actually have this game. Ended up being a lot more of a low-scoring game than both of us anticipated, especially the way the Nuggets had been playing the last couple of games leading up to the one against the Timberwolves. For them, really solid performance. I thought that Will Barton had some really key plays late down the stretch in that game. He ended up with 14 points. And then you had Harris and Murray, who had 22, Harris had 20, Murray had 22 points. From those guys, Paul Millsap with 12 points. He was another guy I thought you didn't see it in the box score as much, but he just really seemed to do a great job of antagonizing Towns. Again, late in that game, I thought he came up big, and very clutch performance from him. The third quarter really defined this game for the Nuggets. 28-18, they outscored the Timberwolves, and that's when they really kind of gained the advantage. Minnesota with a strong end to the first half, 30 points in the second quarter. But again, that third quarter, it just really felt like Paul Millsap, especially in that quarter, kind of got under the skin of Towns, and then he used that to kind of bolster his performance throughout the rest of the second half. But it felt like he was making some plays, felt like Barton was making plays, and then Murray and Harris all game long were shooting very well. Both those guys shot over 50% in that game. And for the team performance of 39% shooting, to have both those key players shooting over 50%, Harris had 20 points in 20.3 minutes of play. So really good performance for them. And the three-point shooting, too, ended up downing the Timberwolves, just because even when they were in it, they shot 25% from three. Even when they're in it, you could tell that was going to kind of be a problem later on. Bielitsa, he shot 2 of 5 from downtown. Towns shot 2 of 5. And you had Teague going 0 for 5. Jones going 0 for 3. Jamal Crawford never really felt his stroke from deep. 1 for 3. He ended up with 9 points. That is kind of the guy. When Wiggins went 1 for 2, that was kind of the guy you were hoping maybe would shoot a couple times from deep late in that game when they were down, and I just never felt their stroke from deep. 11 for 36 from downtown for the Nuggets. And again, Harrison Murray, those two guys shooting really well. Both of those guys shot 50% from three-point range. Harris shot 5 of 9. And so that was, again, that was probably the second thing. Wiggins not really getting into a groove, especially early when they were seemed to be playing pretty well and seemed to be handling how well Murray was shooting and the Millsap defense and keeping Jokic somewhat in check. He ended up with 16 points, 14 boards. Even when things were going well at the beginning, you could tell that the Wiggins and the three-point shooting were going to kind of hurt them late, and how they would react to those two things. And then Paul Millsap's defense at the end of that game to keep Towns from having to keep Towns from taking over the game really helped the Nuggets. But the three-point shooting that Timberwolves a real Achilles heel when they needed it late in this game. Bummer of a game, but again, the back and forth, 11 times they were tied. Really good game, really fun game to watch. Really good atmosphere in Denver. And so they're going to be a tough team to beat on Wednesday. Hopefully the Timberwolves can find it in themselves. They'll have Butler back for that one. So I think that'll make a world of difference as well. But tough loss. Tough loss for the Timberwolves. Moving on to the game they had against the Lakers. This one, Jimmy Butler was back for. I wanted to break this one down a little bit as well before I move on to the Memphis Grizzlies, but first we're going to have a break for some sponsors. The Lakers win was definitely a little, I don't want to say I was worried about it, but starting out with the back and forth, this was 12 lead changes in this one. I really don't like that the Timberwolves were really close with the Lakers early on. Minnesota had a 30-point first quarter. Lakers had a 32-point second quarter. Headed into the half, this was a tight game. And in the third quarter, 29-15, that Minnesota Timberwolves outscored the Lakers. And then 33-23 is how they finished out the game for a 113-96 win over LA. Really important win because it sets up tonight for the opportunity to clinch a spot. And obviously, that's not the case if they lose to the Lakers. And especially when Jimmy Butler was dressed for the Nuggets and then he was going to come back for the Lakers, I wasn't super worried about it, but it makes you a little uncomfortable with the games that the Timberwolves have played against some down teams, how close it was early on. Had some really solid night from Julius Randle, who had 20 points, 10 rebounds on the double-double. Josh Hart looked really good in this one as well. He was a rookie that I liked going into the draft, though. 20 and 11 rebounds for him off the bench, 32 minutes off the bench for him. Kuzma only had 2 points, which is helpful. He never really got going, and he went 0 for 2 from the three-point range. And so that was, I think, key, was that he wasn't jacking up shots early on. Obviously helpful that you don't have Ingram or Ball in this game. And I think Ingram is a guy who could have potentially really hurt the Timberwolves with his length combined with his outside shooting. So I was glad that he wasn't in this one to maybe try and galvanize the offense, especially when they were in a tight game early on. Really impressed with Hart, though, coming out of this game. I think he could be a really solid role player for the Lakers next season. But they had the full complement. Rose, Teague, Butler, all those guys that were injured were back. Butler had 22 minutes. Thank goodness that they only played him 22 minutes is all I can say. I could have definitely seen Tibbs rolling Butler out for a 35-minute night. Glad that he only had 22 minutes off the injury and his return. He had 18 and 10 from Gibson. Two really solid nights back-to-back from Gibson. Just a side note there. Only 14-11 from Towns. Wiggins with 15. 25 points leading the Timberwolves in scoring, leading all scorers. Jeff Teague with 25 points, and 8 assists. He looked really solid. Did a good job of upping the tempo a little bit for the Timberwolves at certain spots in this game, especially I thought in that first quarter. Like I've said many times, you will tell what kind of night Teague is going to have. I think for the most part in that first 12 minutes, looked good pushing the pace of the ball early on, and you could kind of tell right away that Teague was feeling himself a little bit, and it looked like he was a man on a mission. The Timberwolves shot 43%, which was also very helpful against a young Lakers team. If you can shoot well against a really young team that's not uber great on defense, then you're going to be able to outlast them, which is a pretty obvious statement. But that's exactly what the Timberwolves did, was they shot well against them, and the Timberwolves aren't known for their defense. And so early on, it looked a little bit shaky, but they're shooting well. And the key guys, you had 18 points from Butler. You had 25 from Teague. Key guys like that really playing well early on, and you knew they were going to outlast the young Lakers. The big takeaway here, obviously, is thank God that Jimmy Butler's back, because they're going to need him to close out this season, apparently. And that brings us to what is tonight's game against the Memphis Grizzlies at home for this game. Gosh, do they need this game bad, guys. Goodness gracious. And this is a team that they have lost to. Can you believe that they have lost to the Grizzlies twice? Twice they've lost to the Grizzlies. 95-92, obviously, against the Grizzlies on the road. December 4th was that game. And then the much more recent sting against the Grizzlies, where they lost what was a you thought was a gimme game at home, 101-93, after the Timberwolves had won some nice games against the Clippers and the Knicks. You thought that they would have this one in the bag before they went to play the Hawks and the Mavericks, and they lose to the Grizzlies again. Now they're back home playing the Grizzlies. They really need this game. It'd be really nice to clinch the playoffs before heading into the Wednesday night game against the Nuggets at home, just because the Nuggets are a team that can give the Timberwolves some problems. They've proven that they can play with the Wolves, pushing the game into overtime and beating the Timberwolves. I would feel a lot better if they beat the Grizzlies, obviously, and clinched the playoff spot tonight. Now, of course, Denver has to lose to Portland, but Portland has been a really good team this year. I think that's definitely a possibility. So it'd be nice to clinch the playoff spot right away on a Monday. One thing that I was looking at head into this game, and something that caught my attention in the Laker game, I really like the lineup. Now, granted, not a great defensive lineup, but I do like the lineup of Teague, Rose, and Crawford out there when they're out there. It can be I liked it. I really like it if they had Towns and Gorgie out there. Memory does not serve who was out there when I saw them play this against the Lakers, but in the last two games, Teague, Rose, and Crawford averaged 5.3 minutes together and 8 points on the court when they're out there together, shooting 40%. Now, you can also throw out Crawford, Jones, and Rose have played 4.9 minutes per game the last two games, and they've averaged 11 points when they're out on the floor per game. But a combination of those three, if you take if it's either Jones or Teague with Rose and Crawford, offensively, I think that's a really fun lineup, because Crawford, again, is kind of the real threat, consistent threat from downtown for the Timberwolves. I think if Rose has shown that he can do some off-ball stuff for the Timberwolves, and he can kind of help with the pace and transition and run the floor with Teague if they choose to push the tempo. Not granted, that doesn't happen a lot, but I think that's a very valid option if you have Teague or Tyus out there with Rose, and they can play off each other fairly well. And then you have Crawford that can either pull a defense to the outside, or if you have Teague and Rose going towards the basket, can fill that open void on the outside to pass out to. It's just a little thing, but it doesn't seem to work to try and feed the ball a ton of times in against the Grizzlies. I think that's kind of what you're looking for, is Gasol against Towns, and that's kind of playing to the advantage of the Grizzlies, is putting their big man and probably their best player right now, Gasol, up against Towns and really kind of making him the premier guy for the Grizzlies. I think that's what they want, and that's who they want you to go to, is Gasol, to kind of mask the problems they have outside of him and all over their roster. And so if they run a little bit more of a small ball lineup and play a little bit faster paced offense, again, I know that the Timberwolves don't play a lot of fast paced up-tempo offense, but against the Grizzlies, I just don't think they have the pure talent to make that switch. And so running a little bit, and it doesn't even have to be for the bulk of the minutes, but if they have a lineup where they have 15 minutes tonight with that small ball, where you have Teague or Jones with Crawford and Rose, and you're able to push the tempo a little bit more, you're able to play a little bit faster, I think that's going to really put the Grizzlies in a tough spot, because I don't think they have the playmakers to make the adjustment, and they just don't have enough talent and mixed with roster depth to make that switch. Hopefully that's something that you can see. Again, Tyreke Evans isn't in the lineup for them with the injury, so I think that you just have to try and make an advantage at guard out of what the Timberwolves have, and with Tyus and Derrick Rose on the bench, the guard spot is actually pretty deep for them now. So if you can make an advantage there, I think that that'll put Memphis on their heels, and that's when you start feeding Towns, is when they're on their heels, and now you go to your big guy, and you put the Grizzlies behind the eight ball score-wise, because if you play towards their one strength, I think that is just gonna hurt the Timberwolves. So that's kind of the big thing that I'm looking for. Obviously, I hope that Jimmy Butler only plays another 20-minute night. I think that he'll still have a huge impact on this game in 20 minutes, and I think that he had 4 steals in his first game back. I think that he's going to cause some turnovers. He's going to make buckets off those turnovers, and if you have him out there with some guys who are going to push the tempo, I really like when he and Tyus Jones play together and they can go for the steals. Those guys just create turnovers all over the place when they're on the court. So if they can create some turnovers and some easy buckets off those early, you pull Butler out of the lineup, you hit him with the fast pace, and then the fourth quarter you feed Towns. And when you have an 8-point lead, a 10-point lead, you really just slow the game down so there's no chance of Memphis grabbing a couple transition buckets to get back into it. You slow the pace of the game down and you give the ball to your second best player on the team in Towns, and you feed him throughout the fourth quarter. That's kind of what I'm hoping for from the Timberwolves. Those are a couple of things that I think would really work well against the Grizzlies. And again, I think you want to jump out to that lead early, and if all of Butler's minutes can come in the first half, I think that means that you're probably leading by 12 at halftime, and then you can kind of not put it in cruise control, but you can assume that the lead is safe enough where you won't need Butler again. And you do not want to play him big minutes because you want to keep him refreshed for the Denver Nuggets game. You want to keep him refreshed for the playoffs. So these are the things I'm looking for heading into this game. I predict a win for the Timberwolves. I think that Butler, just with some of the things that you saw him saying before he was back, and then the way he galvanized this team upon returning, I think that he just really gets everybody's butt in gear and pushes them to a victory. And I think that it's just so much of a relief for a lot of these players to have him finally back in the lineup that they get a win. Hopefully that means that they clinch a playoff spot, but I'm predicting a 105-92 victory for the Timberwolves. I know it's a bold score after 2 losses to the Grizzlies, and how some of the games that the Timberwolves have played against down opponents have panned out, but that's my prediction. Those are a couple of things I'm hoping for, and that's all I have for you guys. So enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully we are rewarded after an exciting but up and down season with a clinched playoff spot tonight, first time in a long time, and a good way to cap off the first 40-win season since the KG Big Ticket era. Thank you so much for grabbing the podcast, for downloading and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.